Welcome to Rumike Talks podcast. I'm your host, Konstantin Starodetsky. This is a space where I interview professionals from the entertainment industry and discuss popular film-related topics with my co-host
and producing partner, Rumena Dinevska. Our goal is to help and motivate aspiring filmmakers to get their films made.
Enjoy. Welcome to the Rumike Talks podcast. Episode number 28. Finding your film tone. What a strange subject, you say. But tone is everything. Tone is everything! It can be different. It can be crazy. It can be funny. It can be not funny. But it is definitely something. Remember the movies that you love. What are they? Indiana Jones? Star Wars? What do you like about them? Was it the sound of the sabers? Or was it spaceships? Was it the fact that it all took place in space? Those are all aspects of the tone. And there are many others. Sounds. What textures you see in the movie. What kind of actors do you cast? What is the story? What is the force? Is the force with you? All are the aspects of our tone. Or let's talk about Indiana Jones. First thing come up to my mind when you talk about Indiana Jones is the hat and the lasso, as well as adventures, search for the unknown, treasures, secrets, mysteries. Those are all general types of tone, but if you get dive deeper, it's the golden figurines that they have in the film. The fact that the whole movie takes place during the World War II, or the fact that they use old airplanes to fly, or some tanks, explosions, you know, gunfights, sword fights sometimes, all are the aspects of the tone. But how do you write a tone? What is it? Sometimes we think, what is the tone? You know, what is the tone? What does it even mean? It basically means, how does the movie make you feel? What emotions it exudes in you? And once you start thinking about tone that way, then it becomes a little bit easier. I would recommend, before even writing a screenplay, write your tone in words. Describe it in details. What kind of emotions you want your audience to feel. And then write them down in visual form, visual and audio form, because that's what we use as filmmakers. It's not just the visuals, there's also audio, which is hugely important, and many filmmakers forget about that, especially at the entry level. They spend all their budget on the fanciest cameras they can find, but they forget to have some budget for post-productions to have the proper sounds, proper melody for the film. It could be as simple as the sound of the wind. For example, recently we watched a short film from Macedonia, and that's what stood out to me. There was that sound of the wind, and it created a lot of tone for the film. This kind of isolation, a bit of loneliness, and it's only one aspect of it. So always think, how can I create this environment that I feel? What can I include? And describe it in details. Okay, I need the sound of falling rocks, or I want this velvety texture on the materials that we use in the shots, or I want my character to be this and that, or I want to have my film shot in 19th century, or in space, or underwater. All of those are the elements that add to the tone, to how we feel about the movie. Because you can have a family drama happening inside a car while it's driving, or inside a train, or on a plane, or on a submarine. If you create the same exact drama between people in all different places, it's going to be different tone, as you can see by just listening to what I just said. And it has to be visual. It has to be visual or audio so far. When we have a machine that can produce scents in a theater, and we can record scents to put them in the movie, that would be the next level. And I'm sure that Rumena will agree with me because she's fascinated about scents. But then it can be different scents. You know, imagine you're watching a movie in theater and there's like a perfume scent, nice scent, and then there is like some kind of, you know, not a very nice scent. But yeah. I feel like it will add the next layer. Definitely,
I feel like there are theaters that do kind of like that 4D experience. I don't know. I don't know if they
but
do
it's not
it
on
sense.
Mass level. Imagine if it's on mass level. You go in theaters and they have all of that.
Yeah.
That would be something. But it's also, it would be a part of the tone as well. But so far we have the visuals, like, and all of the details about the visuals and the sound, whether it's mm-hmm. music or sound effects or something like that. But those who will see the clip from this podcast will see this. So when I put this hat on me, it definitely creates a slightly different tone of the conversation. And yeah, it keeps me warm, but it gives you see the texture of it. Yeah, makes me feel cozy. A little bit of reminds me a little bit of my Russian roots and things like that. But
definitely.
It definitely changed the you know, if you watch this video, it definitely changed the way that you feel about this recording. I'm not gonna keep it for the long time, so now we're gonna move to the next point. So Rumke, tell us about the importance of the tone.
Yeah, so like you said, tone is very important because essentially it is the mood of your story. It's the voice of your story. It tells us how we're supposed to feel about this story. It really helps you set this for the audience, what they're going to watch, what they're going to experience, how the overall story needs to make them feel. And of course, you implement all the details into that, like cinematography and visuals and sound effects and the type of dialogue you choose. All of that helps and it constitutes the tone. Like it, all of that creates the tone of your film. And it is very, very important because, you know, sometimes you can have, like, you can, you know, the story is like written one way with a certain tone, and then you direct it with a different tone, and it might become a disaster, you know. So it's a very particular thing. You have to think about your tone from the moment you have your screenplay and how you want this directed, you know. So then everyone, like the producers and everyone set, has the same vision. Like you do, like what you actually want, or what do they want? How do you want the tone to feel? So there's so many movies that I absolutely love for their tone, and I'll say a few. There's just so many I can think of, but like one of my absolute favorites is this Korean film called Burning.
Yeah,
and it's from the beginning, like just the dialogue itself, how it's written with like so much metaphors and subtext to the things that the filmmaker is showing to us through the cinematography and kind of like the slow pace it has. Like the tone is so strong and it immerses us in the story. It really helps elevate the story because we feel, because of the tone, like we are part of this story, of this mystery that's happening in front of us. Other movies are like Paris, Texas. Even like Tarantino films have like a particular tone. So it is like the line between tone and style is like similar. But like what makes Tarantino film like a Tarantino film? Of course, yeah, it's like the visual styles and stuff. But it's also the dialogue, you know, like everything constitutes his tone. Like what we're going to see and how we're supposed to feel about these type of films. Another film I can think of is like Her from Spike Jones. That one has like a very particular tone. Sofia Coppola films also, like The Virgin Suicides. So it's so interesting what tone can do to your story. And I love what Constantine said, that it's like what you can start thinking about your tone before you even write your story. And I find that a lot of European films actually really think harder about their tone. Because with American cinema, of course, you know, with a lot of the industrial, like industry films and a lot of the blockbuster films, they sort of become kind of this template and they look very similar. So, but with the European films and like a lot of independent filmmakers, they have a very particular tone because they all have different, the filmmakers have different experiences. You know, they're from different countries. They've grew up in a different way. They've seen different environments, whether it's nature or like you grew up during like Soviet era or whatever it is, you know, the weather is different in the part where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that kind of makes what their tone of the films is. Like, when they implement these things, creates the tone of their film. This movie that we watched recently called The Innocents,
mm-hmm.
it had a very particular tone of the setting, like where the characters were, the nature, how it was shot. So everything was well planned, very detailed, like all the shots, all the sound effects, everything, you know, contributed to the tone.
It then had another, a very clear tone, definitely. That movie is like the best masterclass on the tone you can have, for sure.
Yeah. And another one, other movies that I can point out, these are two Russian films. They're called Loveless and Beanpole. And I really love the tone of those two films as well. Like very strong, visually strong. So, like it really made you feel what the characters are feeling at that place, at that time, and at that time period, you know. So tone is very, very important. What is something that you can add, Konstantin, to this?
I'd say that the tone represents who you are as a filmmaker, as a per human being.
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you hate? What do you love? What do you stand for? Those are all the questions that you should ask yourself, and it will guide you towards what tone you want to use in the movie. Think about yourself. Make a list of the things that you love, hate, stand for. And then see how you can translate it into visual and audio form.
Mm-hmm.
Tone helps you make the audience feel the same way that you do about the world. I'm going to say it again. Tone helps you make the audience feel the same way you do about the world. And your goal as a filmmaker is to show us the way that you feel and experience the world.
Yeah.
And that's why there should be no competition between filmmakers, because it is not a competition. It is a way that you see the world. Your goal as a filmmaker is to learn how to translate the way that you see the world in the best possible way. And that comes with time, with practice, with experience, with all of those things. But when you do it in the most effective way, that's when the magic happens, because then we connect. Then we see the world that you see. We feel the world that you feel. And we hear the world that you hear.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so magical. It's not about which camera to choose, which actors to cast. It's about how do you create this, you know, subconscious feelings, semi-conscious and conscious feelings inside of us, because, you know, the best filmmakers, they know what they're doing. They don't just, oh, this color is cool. No, they know, either consciously or subconsciously, that, oh, this one makes you feel this way, this thing makes you feel that way. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
That's just the magic. That's the beauty of filmmaking. That's why I love filmmaking so much, because I don't think there's going to be a shortage of things that we could share. Every new person that comes to this world has something unique to share. So technically, any person in this world has a potential to be a filmmaker. And it's all about whether you want to spend time developing this craft and developing ways to translate those feelings that you feel to us, the audience. That's something to consider.
Yeah.
It's also just fun to kind of like do a self-analysis about what do you stand for? What do you love? What do you hate? You know, because we go through the world and we don't really do that thing unless you're working with a psychologist or something like that, or do some personal practices. They always have this type of exercises. You never done that, then, you know, you just go along with life without even analyzing what's happening inside of you. And this is the best thing to do it, because then they can see how can I translate those feelings into visual and audio form. And it can be many things. Paintings do the same thing, you know. Music does the same thing. That's something to consider. Now let's move to the next point.
Well, the next point to add to what you were just saying is that if a filmmaker has a problem finding their tone, I love what you said, that it's always best to turn towards self and analyze yourself. This is the best moment for you to examine what Konstantin was saying, examine what you stand for, What's your favorite color? What's your favorite weather? What brings you joy? Are you a mountain person or an ocean person? You know, what colors do you love? I mean, I probably said that, but like every little detail, and check with yourself. Chloe Chow, that one for the Nomadland, she was very adamant about that, that you always have to check with yourself. And whenever you're chasing your career and your dreams, you always have to stop and always turn towards self and examine, what is the type of message I want to send in my movies? What do I stand for? What concerns do I have, about the world? What do I like about it? What do I don't like about it? All of that helps you, develop your stories and develop the tone of your stories. Like with anything in filmmaking, it all comes down to observing life, observing your surroundings, and observing yourself and within yourself, and observing people and how they communicate and what you like about people. Do you like the way someone tells a joke, or do you not like what some actions do they do? So all of that, everything that you analyze about yourself and about your surroundings and about the world will bring you closer to what type of stories you want to write, and eventually what type of tone you want your stories to have. Once you've done, like a lot of self-examination, and you've written all of these things down, hopefully in your little notebook, you can transform it. This is the time to transform it into a visual and audio form, meaning like you can write a draft for your screenplay, or like you don't even have to write a screenplay yet. Just start with the tone. You write the tone of the story you want to tell. No. How will it feel? Like, what is the weather like? What are the colors? What is the smell? We cannot obviously smell the scents from the screen, like Constantine said, but there are like successful ways that you can show us the smell, which is very interesting, but you can show us that feeling, that the feeling that smelling a rose gives someone, or smelling a new perfume or a memory of a perfume.
Yeah,
that's a difficult challenge, but there's movies that done it successfully. Writing your tone first is really helpful to develop any story you want further. And it can actually, even if you don't have the story completely yet, it can actually kind of guide you and inspire you how you want to write your story afterwards. What is the ending going to be like? Or what are the characters going to be like based on the tone, based on where they live, how the colors are around them, how the weather is around them, So yeah, that's kind of what I have for now.
Now we arrived at the obsession of the week section of our podcast. Rumki, what is your obsession?
So my obsession of the week is this advent calendar from Trader Joe's that Constantine gave to me. I've never had an advent calendar before. I didn't even know what it is, but now I think it's like the cutest little thing ever. It's just a thing that hypes you before Christmas. Mm-hmm. What's special about this calendar is that it's actually a candle calendar.
Oh.
So it's a 12-day calendar. So for each day, for 12 days, I get a different candle before Christmas. Of course, for someone that loves scents and that loves candles and all of that, this is the perfect gift. And I would highly recommend it to anyone that loves candles or loves scents. It's just a great calendar. I'll show it briefly here in the video. So,
oh my God.
I thought that the candles will be a little smaller, but they're actually pretty decently sized candles. They're like soy based, and they smell so good. Like there's so many scents. There's like holiday scents, flower scents, like fresh scents. Like just excited to burn them. So that's my obsession of the weekend. Thank you, Acoustic, for getting this for me.
Yeah.
And what is your obsession of the week?
My obsession of the week is, well, first of all, I want to tell you, I'm obsessed with coins. I like coins. And I discovered this website from Europe. I don't remember from where exactly, but it has those 3D printed stuff that is the most elegant stuff ever. They have a lot of things. They have like holders, some clips, some other things. But what caught my attention is a piggy bank. But it's not like a piggy bank. It's just like a bank for coins that looks like some futuristic item from a century forward.
Yeah.
I just love the way it looks. I love the way it's made, the design. It just makes you feel so good. It makes me feel so happy. I don't know why, because just I love everything that is beautiful. And this thing is definitely beautiful. And I'm going to put the link in the show notes. All right, guys. So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Roomkey, tell us how they can help us.
It would be wonderful if you can leave us a review so we can do more episodes like this in the future for you. It would really, really help us. And we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye, man.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Roomikey Talks podcast. You can find the show notes at roomikey.com. I'm your host, Konstantin Starodetsky. My producing partner, Rumena Dinevska. See ya.